Praise the Lord. I know we all got something to praise the Lord for. We're here. But this past week's been a special week for Becky and I. I had my oldest sister with us for a week, and that was a blessing. It was challenging sometimes, you know, when you have an older sister to be there in the house, and we gave her our room and our bathroom, and because it was bigger and easier to get in and out, so we moved to another room and moved all of our stuff to another room, and so kind of hard working around stuff, but it was a blessing to have her here and just to be able to share some things with her that don't always get to do, and just thankful to have my siblings, you know, my brother, my two sisters, and I'm very grateful for Becky's family, her sisters. I was able to take her sister home this week from rehab over at Autumn Care back to her apartment, and how well she's getting along, and that's just word of praise. But her other two sisters came together with Becky, and they got her settled in, and it's just good to have siblings that love one another and care for one another and are a blessing to one another. You don't always see that, and I'm thankful that we have that. You know, we have that in our family. Becky and our family are close to one another as we are as close to each other in our own families. We've always seen one another as family. And, of course, Becky and I we've been family ever since we were 15. I think her mama adopted me. And I used to sit on the front row with her on Mother's Day, of course. And she always got the banner for the most children present. And she had quite a few. And I looked like one of the youngins sitting there with her. But it's a blessing to be able to be a part of a wonderful Christian family and to know the influence that they've had on our family and to see all of them saved. And it's a privilege of mine of baptizing my oldest sister and baptizing my brother and seeing my youngest sister come to the Lord. I say my younger, she's 8 years older than I am. I'm the baby. But seeing her come to Christ, her husband, I baptized him that was here Sunday. And my nephew that's battling cancer right now, he's a Pentecostal preacher, but I held him under too long, I think, when I baptized him, but he came up with a good dose of the Lord, I tell you that, and just praise the Lord for it. But it's a blessing to know Jesus and to be a part of the family of God, and I thank you for being here today and sharing together today, this time of worship. Well, let's turn into God's Word this morning. I'm going to be sharing from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John. And as you turn there, just to share just a few thoughts on that, as you turn to the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John, John has a lot of things in his writing. And as he's writing to the church and to Christians and encouraging them, and they have so many false religions around about them and trying to teach many other things. There's many other ways and many other ways to God. And Gnosticism was one of the big things that John was battling against when he was writing this letter. And Gnosticism had different steps of knowledge of getting unto God, you know. And you have to go through those steps and those hoops and those type of things. But one of the many things other than, you know, Jesus being the light of the world, Jesus is the truth, and that's one of the themes of John. All through the book of John, you can see where he brings out that Jesus is the truth, and that's what I'm going to be preaching on this morning, on the truth, and what is truth? What is truth? And we live in a time when truth is, I think, hard to come by. I don't know if you, like I am, I'm a skeptic in a lot of ways, and I shouldn't be. We live in a time of skepticism, you know, that we just kind of doubt one another, we doubt others, and we question people all the time, and we just live in that kind of society. But, you know, I don't believe half what I see and hear on TV or read or in a newspaper, any of that stuff. And I'm a skeptic, but there's so many half-truths. There might be some truth in what some of these things people say, but there's so much half-truths, and to me, a half-truth is just as much as a lie as telling a lie outright, you know. And so, what is truth? What is truth? Several years ago, Tom Cruise and and Jack Nicklaus was in a movie together called A Few Good Men. I don't know how many of you remember that movie that came on, and A Few Good Men. And the background of the movie is that Jack Nicholson was a commander on Guantanamo Bay, the base there, and as a Marine commander, and under his watch, a soldier was murdered. And Tom Cruise was a lawyer, a young JAG lawyer, you know, and a Navy lawyer, and he was much younger than, of course, Jack Nicklaus, and he was trying to get the truth out of the people they had on stand, and had Jack Nicklaus on stand. He was really pressing him for the truth. I just want the truth. Can we get to the truth of this? And Jack Nicklaus yelled out, says, "You can't handle the truth." Remember that? And pretty forceful, wasn't it? The fact of the matter is, it's hard sometimes to handle the truth. You know, even in ourselves. You know, sometimes we don't like looking in the mirror and looking back at ourselves and seeing what we see. And sometimes we deny what we see in our lives. And it's just kind of hard to handle the truth. I read some statistics on this. It says 67% of adults agree that there's no such thing as absolute truth. That's just the time in which we live, that people don't believe that there's any absolute truth. And so it's much worse, in fact, that 52% of born-again Christians think that truth is relevant. I can imagine that 52% of Christians think that truth is relevant, and that is they believe what is true for someone or some persons or one person may not be true for the other one. And according to another survey, over 75% of professing Christians cannot accept the idea of absolute truth. Folks, we live in a sad time when people just are so skeptic of everything. They're skeptic of God's Word. And folks, God's Word is absolute truth. If it wasn't so, then we don't need to be here today. I mean, we're wasting our time. But God's Word is absolute truth. And I don't know how people live without any value of truth and absolute truth in their life, and that's their standard. That's what that governs their life. Because there's so much falsehoods in our own lives and all around us that if we didn't have that, what in the world would we be if we didn't have God's Word as a guide and blessing our lives? And so this morning, what is truth? What is truth? And we see here in the story, here in this 18th chapter of the Gospel of John, where Pilate asks us that question, doesn't he? What is truth? And if we'll pick up there with me, verse 33 of the 18th chapter. And the scripture reads this. It says, "Then Pilate entered into the praetorium again and called Jesus and said unto him, Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? And Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? That your own nation and the chief priest have delivered you to me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. And Pilate therefore said unto him, Are you a king then? And Jesus answered, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Now, that's an important statement that Jesus made in it. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." So what is truth? This is a question, like I said, Pilate had. And he really wasn't asking that question to get an answer, did it, was he? He was just throwing that out there to Jesus like, you know, so what? What is truth? You know, truth for you is one thing. Truth for me is another thing. Truth for these other people that brought you in here is one thing. So what is truth? You know, it's whatever we want it to be. is sort of what Pilate is saying. So what is truth? And Jesus made that important statement. He says, I am the truth, you know. I am the truth. And he says, you know, I come to bring the truth, the truth of God's word. And he says, those that know me know my truth. They know the truth. And so that's important that we think about that today. So what is truth? Today I want us to think about the person of truth. And of course we know in the scriptures here that's what Jesus is saying here to Pilate, that he is truth. Jesus is the truth. And so when Pilate was talking to Jesus and is looking at him, he was looking at the truth, wasn't he? The truth was right there before him, but blindness of this world and our own concepts of things and understanding of things and the knowledge of man and the ways of man seemeth right but leadeth to destruction. All those things we have going through our minds and our lives, but truth is right there in Jesus as we look to him. And again, John shares that in the first chapter of John. He says this, and he says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. Jesus is the truth. It says, here it says that Jesus is the truth, but also in John 14:6, it says that he's the person of truth. It says Jesus is the person of truth. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. We have to have Jesus in us, the truth, to know the truth. We have to have Jesus in us, the truth, to understand truth and what truth is, and that truth is a part of our life. But we have to have Jesus. He is the very person of truth. And if we don't know him, we don't know nothing, do we? If we don't know him, we don't know truth. We don't know what is real. And if we don't believe in him and believe in his word, we don't have truth, because he is the truth. We have to put our focus on him and our eyes on him. Jesus was right there before Pilate, but he couldn't see the truth. Folks, when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we take our eyes away from his word, we're headed for trouble, aren't we? We're headed in places of darkness that we don't need to be. Places that lead into danger in our life and our families, and all kind of things can happen to us when we take our eyes off of Jesus, because he's the truth. How do we know the way when he says here very clearly, I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life? How can we know the way if we don't keep our eyes on him? He's the very person of truth, and he is truth. And so if we want to know the truth in life, we have to know him personally. We have to receive him into our life. And when we receive him, we receive the truth. And again, Jesus said very clearly to Pilate, he says, I bear witness unto the world that I should bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And so when we have Jesus in our life, we have the truth. And we can see the truth. But the very moment we take our eyes off of him, that's where the danger comes. The very moment we were distracted from all these other sayings and things around us, and all the stuff we hear on the news, and all the stuff we read, and all the stuff that sometimes has been taught to us or pushed on us, and that we open our hearts to those things, we're headed for danger. We have to keep our eyes on the truth. There's no other truth. No matter what we think or you think or what others think, there's only one truth, and his name is Jesus. And we have to keep our eyes, as there's the person of truth. But as we think about the person of truth, I want us to think this morning a little bit of the pathways. And I use the word pathway, but it's the pathways of truth. There's pathways that leads to the truth, which is Jesus. And the number one thing, as I said, is God's word. God's word is the truth, and the scriptures tells that in many, many places. It says, again, in John 17, it says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is the truth. We can believe that. We can believe that the word of God and everything in it is inerrant and infallible and without mixture of error, and that it's holy and divine, given by God. The scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for the instruction in righteousness. It is the word of God. And we can believe God's word because it is the truth. And we can follow God's word. We can build our lives on God's word. We can stand on the word of God every day. This is the promises of God. And we need to let that be a part of our life each and every day. Again, Psalms 119:105, a favorite scripture, says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Where are we going on the pathway of life if we don't have the light of Jesus? Where are we headed if we don't have His light shining before us? Shine, Jesus, shine. You know, that we let Him lead us and guide us into the truth every day and in all circumstances and all the events and things that's going on in our life, that we might see the truth in those things and see the truth about ourselves each and every day that we need to follow. I like James, where James talks about the Word of God being like a mirror. So often we see the Word of God and we read God's Word and we look into it, and it's like looking into a mirror, and too often we look into it, we don't see a need for change. We don't see ourselves the way God sees us. Sometimes we don't see ourselves the way other people sees us. Or we don't even see ourselves the way we think we see ourselves. That's why the truth is so important, isn't it? That's why God's Word is so important, that we read God's Word and make it a part of our life. That's the pathway to the Lord. That's the pathway to truth. And if we're going to be in the truth and live in the truth, we have to be in God's Word. We have to trust His Word. So truth, God's Word is a pathway to truth. But also the Holy Spirit. John speaks about this as the Holy Spirit being a pathway to truth. Not only is His Word a pathway, but the Holy Spirit says in John 16:12, just turn there with me, and just a few chapters over back there from John 18 that we're reading, over in the 16th chapter of John, in verse 12, it says this. It says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you in all truth, unto all truth, and He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, and He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine, and therefore I say that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit is the truth. And if we're going to know the truth, as again the Scripture says, if we walk in the Spirit, we need to follow Him, don't we? We need to walk in the Spirit every day. We need to let the Spirit of God speak to our hearts, speak to His Word, and speak to us very clearly. As I was thinking about this, we have a little sunroom on the back of our house, and that I built and Becky built, and it's nothing fancy, but it's a nice little room we sit in. My sister Margaret sat in my chair the whole week that she was here on the back in that little sunroom, well, it's actually Becky's chair now. So anyway, we have a little small TV back there, and we have an antenna, outside antenna. And so if the wind's blowing a little bit, or if it's raining in the wrong way or something, it's not a clear picture, you know. And sometimes we have two channels coming in the place of one channel, and it's back and forth. It's a lot of static there. And when we allow a mess in our life, when we allow the things of this world to distract us, it can become static in our life and we lose sight of the truth. We lose sight of the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts and speaking to our lives and how He speaks through the Word, and allow Him to bring that conviction in our life and convincing. He's a convincing Spirit to convince us of the truth of God's Word, as well as to convict us of those things that are not of God, and that we should trust and put our faith in Him. And so there's a lot of static, you know, that we have to work through. And sometimes even there's a brokenness of the line of communication through the Holy Spirit. And I think that's when we have an unconfessed sin in our life, when we have allow sin to rule in our life and have its place in our life, instead of agreeing with God that this is sin, listening to the Holy Spirit of His conviction of this is sin and confessing that. When we fail to do that, there's a broken line. And you're not going to hear God. You're not going to hear the truth. And you're not going to see the truth for that day in your life if you allow sin to govern in your life and rule in your life. And of course, I don't have to tell you, you know, the dangers that lay there in front of us because we're not listening and being obedient to the Holy Spirit of God that speaks the truth. And so God's Word is the pathway to truth. The Holy Spirit is the pathway to truth. But also prayer is, isn't it? Prayer is the pathway. The psalmist, he said this, and he's praying this. The psalmist is praying this. Show me your way, O Lord. Teach me your ways and lead me in your truth. And teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day. God is truth, and we need to pray for that. We need to ask God to show us the truth and have a heart that's going to respond to the truth of God's Word in our life every day, the truth about what we see in our own hearts and our own lives and the things that we need to confess to Him, the things that we need to give to Him, the things that we need to be doing for Him and glorifying Him in our life. We need to yield to that. We need to do that every day and spending time with God in prayer. If we want to know the truth about any matter in our life, folks, you need to pray about it. Sometimes that's the last thing we do, isn't it? Like the woman told her husband, we need to pray about it. He said, my gosh, if we come to that, you know, we need to pray. And we need to ask God first and foremost in anything and about everything. And so prayer is one of those pathways to truth. And then I wrote this down. I thought about that this morning. It's very important. Other believers are pathways to truth. I can testify so much in my own life and my walk with the Lord how other believers have spoken the truth to me. And of course, I wrote down a scripture too that we need to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15 says we need to speak the truth in love. But we need to hear the truth from other believers. Sometimes we can't see the truth. Sometimes we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. Maybe sometimes we're not listening to the Word of God and what God is saying to us. Maybe we're not able to pray things through. But sometimes a believer can speak the truth to us and we need to be open, receptive to that truth. And that's hard, isn't it? Again, I said, you know, truth is hard to handle sometimes. But it's the most important thing in our life. It could save our lives. It could save us from destruction, couldn't it? It can save us from a life of heartaches and hardships in our life when we listen to someone speaking the truth to us in love. And of course, when we say we're speaking the truth to others in love, that's to build up it. It's not to tear them down. It's to build them up. And I think when a person sees that, they can receive that truth no matter how hard it is. If we're doing it in love and they know it's coming from love from your heart to them. I've had that happen many times in my life. People speak the truth to me and love. And I know some of you are like that. Sometimes we don't like people that just comes out and tells you the way it is, you know. But we have to do that, isn't it? And I appreciate people like that, that just comes out and just, this is the way it is. And they tell you the truth right to your face, you know. I'm not quite that bold sometimes, but I'm thankful for people that are, that can just stand up and speak the truth in love. And so God speaks to us, and so we need to listen to the truth through others and through prayer and through the Holy Spirit and through His Word. And then finally I want to say there's power in truth. There's wonderful power in truth and how it blesses our life each and every day when we're walking. Turn over to Romans with me and to Romans the 10th chapter. And just some verses there that I think lends itself to this. And a part of that is that we believe the truth of God's Word. And the power of the truth of God's Word is salvation. The truth saves. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father except by me. And the truth saves. And so there's power there. It's God's wonderful working power, saving grace at work in our life because of the truth of who Jesus is and that He has the power to save. And so in that 10th chapter, verse 14 says this, and there's some wonderful verses ahead of that's wonderful to hear too. But here in verse 14 it says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, O Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Folks, we need to understand there's power in God's word, and it's power to save if we put our faith and our trust in it. And when we're sharing God's word with others, when we're sharing the gospel with others, it's wonderful. I mean, I've seen it thousands of times, it seems like, and it's a wonderful experience to see this. I've seen it in church services. I've seen it individually, sharing with someone privately, that when the Holy Spirit takes the word of God and you can see it speaking the truth into someone's life, and when the Holy Spirit convinces that person and convicts that person that Jesus is the truth, and they open their heart to receive the Lord, it's through the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. You've heard it many times. People say an effective witness is going under the leadership and the power of the Holy Spirit and sharing under the leadership and the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to the leadership and the power of God's Holy Spirit. We're just to go and tell, aren't we? We're going to tell the wonderful gospel truth to others, and the Holy Spirit does the work in bringing them to a saving knowledge. And so it has the power to save. The truth does. But also it has the power of discernment. I like this. It has the power of discernment because it is truth. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful. Amen? The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word has the power, the truth of God's word has the power to cut deep within our hearts and our souls and our minds, to help us to see and discern what is truth and what is not truth, what is of God and what is not of God. People have no sense this day and time of right and wrong. It's just unbelievable how people have no thought of what's right and what's wrong anymore. And of course, just like the scripture says, there's going to come a day when what is right is wrong, and what is wrong becomes right, isn't it? We're living in that time, folks. We're living in that time, and more so than ever before, we need to have a discernment of what is of God and what is not of God, and we need to have a discernment about ourselves, that we live the truth and speak the truth in love, and that we understand what God is doing and where He is leading, where He's guiding. So there's power for God's Word to come and bring conviction and leadership and the guidance in our life that we need. But also, as Jesus said in John, the 8th chapter, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's power in the truth to liberate us. When we may be in darkness, when we may be walking in sin, when we may be shackled by the things of this life and weighed down by the things of this life, and we feel so burdened down by the things of this life, let me tell you, God's Word, the truth, has the power to liberate us and to set us free from those things if we only would go to Him, right? If we only would go to Him in prayer, that pathway, listen to other believers, go to Him through the Word of God, the precious Word of God, through allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us through that Word and receive it, there's liberation, there's power there, and it sets us free. What a blessing it is to not be shackled down and burdened down by the things of this world that's so easy to pile up and to pile up and to pile up and to pile up. But Jesus has the power to set us free. He is the truth. And again, He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What are you battling with today? What paths are you on today? Do you see the light of Jesus on those paths? Do you see the truth? Do you know the truth about yourself? Are you willing to look into God's Word and look at your own heart and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart to what God sees in your life and the needs in your life, to put it all in His hands, put your life in His hands, to put your faith in Him, to trust in Him. What's in your life today that you need to be delivered from? The truth can set you free. Sometimes we allow the stuff to blind us from the truth. The truth is there if we look at Jesus. Is your eyes on Jesus today? May we pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you that we know without a doubt, dear God, as a believer today, that your word is absolute truth. That Jesus, that you are absolute truth, and we can put our faith and our trust in you without a doubt whatsoever, because you are the truth and the way and the life. And we know that you said that no one can come unto the Father except for you. Lord, I pray today as we struggle in this world in which we live, and there's so much darkness around us and about us, dear God, and how it enters into our lives and how it weighs us down and burden down. I pray this morning that you will just, through the power of your truth, set our hearts free. God, I pray for the one here today that may feel shackled by lies of Satan and half-truths that they hear, that they will be delivered, dear God, and that they will see through all the stuff and the problems and the difficulties and the challenges to see you, Jesus, to see you for you are the truth of the whole matter, of everything and every need in life. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us, Lord, to look to you today. Help us to put our trust and our faith in you today, for there's simply no other way but to trust in you, Lord, and to obey you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for the promises of it. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God, for using this today and speaking to our hearts and convincing us and convicting us of the power of your truth. It was in Jesus' name we pray. And thank you, Lord. Amen and amen.